Good morning, and thank you for worshiping with us. We're really glad that you're here online with us today, and we celebrate worshiping the Lord and Savior today. It's a special day at Cottonwood Creek in several different ways. Of course, we're celebrating the pastor's 25th anniversary, and congratulations, John, Mark, and Gina, and the whole Caton family. It's also a special day as we have some guests in the worship center with us, and you may have noticed through some shots through the camera that there are people in the worship center. We have about 50, made up mostly of our deacons and some of their family members that are helping us test run the procedures and processes to help us get open full bore in the weeks to come. So you'll see a few people in the worship center in the next coming weeks online as you worship with us. And we look forward to that day we can all get back together. But today, the pastor's 25th anniversary, we also hope to see all of you from 2 to 2:30 as we have a parade. We'd invite you to get in your car and come to the campus and be a part of the parade that goes around the campus. We'll be honking our horns and the Catons will be out there, and we'll be able to wave at them and shout at them. We've always wanted to holler at the pastor, right? Now's your opportunity to do that. And so come by sometime between 2 and 2:30 and be a part of the party atmosphere that we'll be having celebrating this day, the 25th anniversary of John Mark and Gina Caton and their ministry at Cottonwood Creek. Also, today's special in that we have who John Mark would call his mentor in ministry here today with us. He'll be giving us a brief Bible study, and then he'll be interviewing John Mark and Gina about their 25 years, about God's faithfulness over that time frame. Warren is a friend of mine and a friend of the pastor's. I've had the opportunity to serve in my first leadership role at Prestonwood as a Sunday school teacher under the ministry of Warren Samuels. And it wasn't long after that time that Warren had hired John Mark Caton to come. And then John Mark took over our class, and I began to serve under him. And so Shelley and I have had the privilege of serving under the ministry of John Mark and Gina for almost 30 years. And, of course, 25 years here at Cottonwood Creek. So we celebrate that. Warren is knows our church well. Many of you will recognize him. Many of you know him. And he is indeed a blessing to all of us. And we'll hear from him in just a moment. He now runs, after serving in several churches along the way and pastoring, he now serves as the leader of the H2H Ministries, which reaches out to the entertainment industry in Hollywood and ministers there with Bible studies. He and his wife, Sherry, do a fantastic job with reaching those folks in the entertainment industry in Hollywood. So at this point in time, as we continue to celebrate, again, we're going to have a message from Warren, and then we're going to have a time of talk of him interviewing the pastor and Gina in just a few moments. So let's go now to the stage and Warren Samuels.
I cannot tell you how deeply, deeply humbled, and I really mean that, I am today to have the opportunity to be a part of an incredibly special day for John Mark and Gina and their family. I haven't seen your children in a while, and seeing that picture, I thought, what happened to those little kids that were running at your feet, Gina, just a few years ago? What a good-looking family. Now, I'm probably not the only one here that's so grateful that those kids look like their mother. I know that you would agree with me on that. John Mark and I met in the late 80s, and he has become like a little brother to me. I do not ever drive by this church that I don't smile and think and pray for him and the staff. Ladies and gentlemen, what God has done here the last few years, 25 plus, is unexplainable. You can explain it apart from God. And so I am very grateful today to not only take a few moments to attempt to honor them, but I thought to myself, what is the greatest way this church can honor John Mark and Gina? I think it's by honoring the God who has allowed them to be faithful to him for the past 25 plus years. And that's what we want to do today. Yes, we want to give honor to whom honor is due, and we should. And I celebrate you as a church for wanting to do that. But at the same time, I think we need to keep the main thing the main thing. And that is the God who has allowed John, Mark, and Gina to be faithful to him and to serve him. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest honor that God disposes upon a man or a woman is that he allows them to serve him. And they have been so faithful in doing that. And so I just wanted to share with you a few things that God has put on my heart. Let me pray and then we'll jump right in. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the Caton family. I thank you so much for the staff that you have used and raised up. Some of them still here. Many have gone on to do other things. But God, you have done the impossible. And you always continue to honor men and women who honor you. And I thank you that John, Mark, and Gina have been faithful to you. And I pray, oh God, that they would continue to be faithful to you in the coming days and years. And that you would receive all the glory for all they do. In Jesus' name, amen. Zach Elder and a group of 12 plus friends decided to embark upon the trip of a lifetime. They were to take a 25-day rafting trip down the Colorado River as it runs through the Grand Canyon. When they left that morning, Bernie Sanders had a 10% lead over Joe Biden in the presidential race. In fact, that night was to be a Democratic debate in Las Vegas. The coronavirus was showing some sign of declining in mainland China. And when Zach Elder and his friends got off their rafts, the owner of the rafting company asked them, "Have you all had any contact with anyone over the last 25 days?" They said, "No, other than a few texts." "Why do you ask?" His response was, "Well, you're not going to believe this, but in less than a month, this virus is now a worldwide pandemic. Italy is in a shutdown. The stock market has plummeted. Unemployment has gone through the roof, and many schools have already begun closing for the year." And I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall and watched the facial expressions on those people when they thought to themselves, "How in the world could my world change so quickly?" And I think we all, to some degree, are struggling with that same thing. Many of you, 3 months ago, your 401k looked really good. Today, not so much. A few months ago, you were hiring people. Today, you're letting them go. 3 months ago, you had a job. Today, you're struggling to find income. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us, even if we've been on a raft or not been on a raft, have had many questions as to what has gone on in our world in a very short amount of time. Well, God has always been okay with our questions. I've had many questions for God over my lifetime. I'm certain that you have as well. If you haven't, then just keep on living. We all have had questions for God. We all struggle at times with the silence of God. And sometimes when God is silent in a crisis, our emotions take over and begin to trump what our brain knows to be true about God. Now, God has always been okay with our questions. God's always okay with me asking him questions, wanting an explanation. But there's a huge difference between asking God a question and simply questioning God. You see, when I ask God a question, I'm only seeking an explanation. When I question God, I'm putting myself in the driver's seat. When I question God, I am confronting God. I am challenging God. I am saying, "God, I know more about life than you. Why are these things happening?" Now, when my children were young, they had lots of questions, just like your children did. "Daddy, why is the sky blue? Mommy, where do babies come from? Daddy, if God is so big, why can't I see him?" An endless stream of questions. I had no problem with that. What I did have a problem with, and I'm sure you were the same way, is when your children confronted and challenged you and acted as though they knew more about life than you did as an adult. Well, if there's a great gap between a child and an adult, how much greater is the gap between man and God? And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to take us to a place in history, a time in history. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. Because here is another group of people who are also struggling with the silence of God. And there were some things that I believe God not only wanted to remind them of, but I certainly believe today will be a source of encouragement to you. Some things that we need to be reminded of as well. Because in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27, where we'll begin this morning, these saints of God, these Old Testament saints, found themselves in a crisis. Now, this crisis didn't last for a few months or a few years. It was 50 plus years. They found themselves in the middle of the Babylonian captivity. And they had intense pain. They were weary from their pain. I don't know about you. I'm weary from what we've had to put up with the last few months. I'm tired. Many of you are as well. But imagine if we're tired, how much more they would have been tired and weary after more than 50 years of daily oppression and loss of freedom. And in verse 27, God said, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and absurd, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God?" Do you understand that this is a group of people who are not simply asking God questions? They are questioning whether or not God knows what's going on in their life and questions whether or not God even cares. Now, I don't care how spiritual you are. We all, from time to time, struggle with that thought process. They had been living under an oppressive regime for a very, very long time. And they questioned whether or not God cared. And I want you to see what God said in verse 26. He says, "Lift up your eyes from on high and see who created the stars, the one who leads forth the host by number, and he calls them by name. And because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing." God says, "You want to know what the problem is? The problem is not that I don't see you. The problem is you don't see me. Put your eyes on me. Take them off of yourself. Take them off of your circumstances. Take them off of your crisis and put your eyes on me." And then he gives them a reason why he is a faithful God and why that he is a trustworthy God. He said, "Do you guys not understand that I created the stars? And I am the one who leads forth their number. I call them by name." In other words, he wants them to understand that he is the God who made the billions and billions and billions of stars, that he gave each one of them a name, and that he holds them in place by his good hand. And if God loves stars that much, how much more does he love you and me, those of us who were created in his very image? God is faithful to uphold the stars. And if he is faithful to uphold the stars, why would we question whether or not he will be faithful to uphold us in whatever we go through? One thing you can say, ladies and gentlemen, about this church for the last 25 years, God has been faithful to you. You cannot debate that. Now, there have been times, I'm certain, that you would say, "I've not been faithful to God." Aren't you grateful that God's faithfulness to you is not dependent upon your faithfulness to him? You see, the faithfulness of God is always based upon the character of God. God always remains faithful to his people for the glory of his name. Please also understand that God is faithful to us not based upon our conduct, but based upon his character. Did you hear me? God's faithfulness to you and God's faithfulness to me has not been based this past 25 years just on your faithfulness to him. Because I'm certain collectively and individually, there have been times that you have not been faithful. And God goes on to explain that in verse 28. And I think this is very, very, very important for us to understand today and to be reminded of. He said, "Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired, and his understanding is inscrutable?" God wants to talk about himself. God wants to elaborate about himself. He wants to talk about who he is, his character. And he gives them three reasons why we run to God in a crisis and not run from God. I was talking to a pastor the other day in California where we work. He said suicide rate where he lives is up 300%. A lot of people are running to other men and women. Some are running to a bottle. Some trying to run to the government. But he also said we've seen an unbelievable amount of people coming to know Christ. See, there are two places you can run in the midst of a crisis. You can run to God, you can run from God. But God gives them three good reasons for why we run to him in the middle of a crisis. And each of these is based upon who he is. Don't miss this. Who God is always determines what God does. You believe that? Who he is, it always determines what God does. He said, I'm everlasting, I'm creator, I understand you, I get you. In other words, I'm all powerful, I'm all knowing, I'm all eternal. I am the one that you should run to in the midst of a crisis. And then he goes on to give them the reason for why. And in verse 31, he said, those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and they will not faint. Ladies and gentlemen, this is critical for us to be reminded of today. I believe that people pretty much have gone through the last few months looking at this crisis in one of two ways. I think some people have been crushed by it, and I think some people have found comfort in it. And the way you view God is how you will deal with the crisis that you're dealing with today. Do you see that? If your view of God is high, you will find comfort in crisis. If your view of God is low, you will be crushed in the midst of your crisis. And so if you give me the one word to describe where you are today, then I would ask you, what is your view of God? Because depending upon how you view God is how you will view what you're going through. And he says in verse 31 that those who wait on him will gain new strength. Now, I don't know about you. I look at the word wait and I think that's a little passive for me. I want a more of an action word. Well, before I describe to you what the word means, let me tell you what he's not advocating for. He is not advocating for us to be passive. He is not advocating for us to retire. He's not advocating for us to sit. He is not advocating for laziness whatsoever. The word is an action word, and the word here figurative means to braid the hair. The word wait means I'm braiding hair or I'm braiding a piece of rope. When a woman, or sometimes men do this, put hair extensions, it strengthens their hair. As they intertwine the extensions with their hair, it strengthens their hair. What is he saying here? Do you want to faint? Do you want to give up? Do you want to throw in the towel? Then understand, those of you who feel that way, here's the solution. Intertwine your life with me, he says. Weave yourself into me. Jesus talks about it in John 15. Abide in him and he abides in me. In other words, as I abide in him, the God who is always faithful, God helps me to be faithful. When I abide in the God of strength, then I become stronger. When I weave myself into a God who does not faint, then I find that I don't faint when I encounter incredible trials. Oh, it's a very active word. To breathe every day from the pages of his word, to sit at his feet, to listen to what God has to say is very important for each and every one of us. I don't know about you. I can't intertwine myself with God and braid myself into God one day a week and hope to remain faithful in the time of a crisis. For me, I have to be intertwined with God every single day of my life. And then that takes pressure off of me. I don't have to figure out what the crisis is about. I don't know, John Mark, if you've ever been asked this question during this period of time, but I bet you have. People saying, well, is this crisis of God or is it of Satan? Did God send this crisis or did God simply allow the crisis? And my answer is, I don't know. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if this is allowed by God or sent by God. What God is looking for is how we respond to it. Do you see? I don't have to figure it out. My job right now is not to try to figure out why God sent this or why God allowed this. I don't have to know that. What I have to know is Him. That's the one I must pursue. He is the one I must dig in deep with. Because His character never changes. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And it is in His character that we place our life, which is the safest place for us to live. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God never leads us to a place where His presence does not sustain us. And I believe that we will get through with this. I am asking God that this be an instrument that He uses to bring about revival in our nation. For ladies and gentlemen, we need God now more than we have ever needed God before. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for who You are. And we bless Your name this morning, and we understand that there are things that happen that we don't have understanding of. And I pray today, God, when some of us do not understand Your hand, that You'd help us to trust Your heart. And I pray with all of my heart that we, as Your people, would be faithful to You when the world watches us, when they see our faithfulness to You, but even more, may they see Your faithfulness to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I want you to watch this special video from a guy that John Mark worked with in the past, Dr. Jack Graham.
John Mark and Gina, and to all of our friends at the Cottonwood Creek family, we want to celebrate with you your anniversary together as pastor and people, 25 years. It's hard to imagine that it's been that long, but my oh my, what God has done in this quarter of a century. It's very rare that a pastor and a church would be together this long. And it is the integrity of your lives, John Mark and Gina, and the love and the devotion of your congregation that has kept you together all these years. I have celebrated your every day and your every victory there. It doesn't seem that long ago that you were on our staff here at Prestonwood, and I watched you as a young man prepare your heart, prepare your life, your mind, your preaching and giftedness in the work of Christ, and I watched you develop, and you've become one of the great pastors in America. And we do thank God for you, and we praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all that has been done and yet will be done. This is a strange and unusual time with all of this closing down of the churches, but our hearts are together and our hearts are with you, and we'll all be back together in our churches soon. And when we do, it's going to be a great time to celebrate the love that we have for one another. So John Mark, Caton, Gina, your family, God bless you. I thank God for you. It's a privilege to be your pastor and your friend.
Most of you would have no idea how shocked I was that Jack would do this video. And you say, well, why? Well, obviously you don't know a lot of the history with Jack and John Mark. I'm surprised that Jack did not fire John Mark, and I want to explain to you why I have come to that conclusion. The fact he's here, having spent 25 years here, I'm a little shocked, okay? So let me explain something to you, and I think you'll understand why I'm shocked that Jack would do this video with such kindness today. John Mark and I worked together at Prestonwood, and when he had just come on staff, I'm not sure how long you'd been there, we asked him to go to the airport to pick Jack and Deb up from a trip. So John Mark, I can understand why you didn't want to take that little Toyota. I get it. I get it. But he decided to use one of the church vans. So he gets in there to the van. He drives the van to the airport. He picks Jack and Deb up. And then he decides that he's going to try to find an exit, and I understand that it's kind of confusing at DFW at times. The exits aren't, they're strange. Well, John Mark goes underneath, I don't know how high the van was or how low the ceiling was, but at some point in time in the journey, you hear this,
the top of the church van. Jack looks at him and goes, "Are we stuck?" John Mark backs the van up. All these people are behind them, having to back out of their parking facility to let him get out. I don't know if you know this or not. They put a new procedure in place after that, that no intern, no individual who ever picked up the pastor could use the church van. I want you to know you're famous there. You are.
Well,
but
know.
It's that story. I mean, that story is still being told today. Here's what you don't do as a brand new intern. So I'm proud of Jack for doing it, but I'm a little bit surprised that Jack did that just based on what happened many years ago. I also remember, John Mark, there was a time that I went fishing and I brought you and Gina a big bag of fish. And you know what it's like when you like to fish and you give away your fish? It's a big deal, right? Well, it was to me. And so I wanted to bless them, and I gave them this big bag of fish. What did John Mark do? He left the bag of fish in the trunk of his car. Now, John Mark forgot about it for several days. And I don't know that they didn't use their car or what. I can't imagine they used their car and not notice this. But about 3 days later was every year we had at Prestonwood a staff Christmas party. Well, John Mark and Gina only had a vehicle, and it was that vehicle. And so he goes to the trunk, he takes the package of fish out. It still smells like dead fish. Well, the problem is when you pulled up to Ruth Ray Hunt's house, somebody was going to have to valet your car. Somebody was going to have to smell those fish. So they pull up. Literally, I think a fight broke out between the two attendants seeing who was not going to park that particular car. So do you understand why I'm just a tiny bit shocked that after all the things that we have talked about in the past, I've seen John Mark do and not do in the past, that he is still here today? You must be a very gracious people. That's all I've got
they
to say.
Are.
Yes.
They are.
Well,
you know, Warren, that was my first time ever in a vehicle with Dr. Graham when I did that.
Oh, it was? The
it
first
was.
Time ever?
It was. And so I really thought, I'm going to get fired when I get back.
I totally get that.
But I crushed that ceiling of that van about halfway, and he just looks at me and says, "Are we stuck?" And I go, "I had no idea." So, and then your fish, you know, it was a nice Toyota Corolla, a little five-speed Toyota Corolla with an AM/FM radio in it, 1989. And when we pulled up at the Hunt's house, and I said, "They're about to valet this car." Gina and I drove with the windows down. It stunk so bad. And I got out and just looked at that guy and said, "Good luck."
Well, there are a lot of things I can share from up here and some things about John Mark that I can't share. Of course, he's got just as many things about me he's not sharing. But we have really been dear friends over the years. And I cannot tell you how proud I am of him. He really is like a little brother to me. And I think big brothers, when their little brothers do well, they say, "I'm really proud of you," and I am, and I'm very proud for him. But I wanted to ask you a question that's kind of serious. And the question is, because we've talked a lot today about the faithfulness of God. In 25 years that you've been here, do you remember a time, and I know you've seen God's faithfulness every day, I get that, but do you remember a time where there was an unusual amount of God's grace and God showing up to demonstrate his faithfulness to you and Gina in a powerful way?
Yeah. You know, Warren and as a church family, and you know, the big one that really sticks out, there are a number I could literally spend the rest of the day, is when the church relocated. You actually saw in that slideshow as we were looking at it, there was a groundbreaking picture. That was a groundbreaking picture because God had begun to bless First Baptist Fairview over the years, and we had moved out of the little A-frame church, and after going into three services, we moved into a gym, and we were beginning to outgrow that gym. We were having Saturday services and Sunday services. And we said, well, God's got to do something different. And so we began to pray about it, and God said, you know, we felt like it was time to build something, to add on to the church. And we went through a whole stewardship campaign preparing to build a worship center right there at Fairview. And we actually had the groundbreaking service, and you've got all your teams and all your people are there. We had a groundbreaking service right there on that Sunday morning. And the Monday, we were supposed to go get our building permit from the town of Fairview, that they say, okay, build the worship center. We'd been negotiating with them and talking with them. And we went there, and they essentially said no. And I can tell you, as a pastor, we stood out in the parking lot that Monday night after just having the groundbreaking ceremony going, God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, God, what are you doing? Yeah. And as we look back on it now, God was telling us, y'all had to develop a bigger vision for what I wanted to do in your life. And he goes, and if you'll trust me, I've got this. And so I called together a collection of the leadership in our church, and we just did nothing but prayed for 90 days. We put everything on hold. People had committed to give, and people were going to give towards this worship center. And after 90 days, we just felt confirmed in our heart that God was telling us, you're going to build something. You're just not going to build it here. Hmm. And it so much reminded me, and it has over these 25 years, of the book of Exodus. When how many times when the children of Israel were going from Egypt to the promised land, that God would show up at a different time, at a season where they were where God wanted them to be, but they'd be out of water.
Yeah.
And then scripture would say, and then God said,
yes.
And God would tell them, here's where you're going to get the water. Or they would show up in a different place and they would be hungry, and it would say, and then God said, and God would say, here's how I'm going to feed you.
Yeah.
And so that's one major thing. And so then we relocated the church, and we took really the money we had raised and the commitments we had raised, and almost everyone said, we're in. We made a commitment to this, but God has said something different. And that's how we got here, and that was an extreme measure of faithfulness. And so God has just done that over and over again as we've been faithful. When God shows up and says something new,
amen,
to say yes. And
amen.
He showed himself faithful so many times.
Well, I've said this many, many times to people outside of Cottonwood Creek. When you look at the history of Cottonwood Creek, humanly speaking, it doesn't make sense. There's just a lot of things that you as a human being can't say, well, we did this, we did that. And it's just God things, God moments, God showing up and saying, you know what, this church isn't about a man or a woman, it's about me. And that's one of the things, John Mark, why I believe God has honored you is that you've always been quick to honor him. And I think that is such a testimony to your people. Second question I wanted to ask you, because I know there are some young men out there listening to this online that are thinking to themselves, man, 25 years, most guys don't last. I've never been to a place that would want me for 25 years, so I can understand that some are thinking, man, what has happened that you would say helped to cause that? But more importantly, the question is, what are some things that you know today as a pastor that you really wish you would have known when you got started? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, developing and growing a sense of God's faithfulness. And, you know, that the series that we're in right now, how the attributes of God affect our everyday life, and not just as individuals, but also as a pastor. And I think some of the things that I've learned over the years is one. When I went to Fairview, I felt like, boy, it's small enough where I'll never let anyone down. You know, I'll never let anyone down. I'm not going to be the perfect pastor, but I can be there for anyone and everyone. Mm-hmm. And that was really my desire, and it still is today. It hurts me even today when someone will tell me later, hey, you know, you weren't there for me, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that. And I would say to a younger pastor or someone else is you can't please everyone. You can't
Absolutely.
Be there for everyone. I would say also the funny part is I thought there would come a point anoint Warren when I'd be able to solve the music battle in church. That all of a sudden we'd get to a place in worship where everybody was comfortable with what we were singing. And so that's the human side of it. And that has not happened, if y'all haven't noticed that. People still like different styles of music. And so that would be another thing. There were times, and it's the old adage, the old phrase, pray like it all depends on God, work like it all depends on you. Yeah. And I think sometimes I've never been the one that wasn't willing to work like it all depended on me.
Yes.
And just to realize there have been so many times that I've put in so much effort for something and it's failed, and it's still okay.
Yeah.
And it's still okay. And Gina, and we're going to share her in a second, she's been through those seasons where I failed, and we've, the church hasn't been able to achieve. And boy, we look around and see all this. It was not success, 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 right. Success. It was a success and a success and a failure and a swing and a miss and this.
Yeah.
And, I think to go back and say, don't sweat all the small stuff, because I did a lot in the early days, and I still do to some measure. That's just part of my nature.
Yes.
But you can't fix the music problem, but ultimately trust God and don't always sweat the small stuff, and a lot of it's the small stuff.
Well, that's so true. A couple of videos we want you to see from some individuals who've been greatly blessed, not only by John Mark and Gina's ministry, but really the entire ministry of this church. Let's watch it together.
I understand that today is a very special day as Pastor John Mark is celebrating his 25th anniversary. My first thought when I hear that is, man, you're old. No, my first thoughts are congratulations, and I just wanted to say how thankful I am. Your investment in me and in our church as we moved out here to Melissa to plant and all of the things that you have done are forever just sort of marks on our life, and we're so grateful. 25 years, friends, serving one church is something that is so rare, and so I know most of you know this, but if you don't know, what a blessing John Mark and Gina are. Not much more that we can say other than thank you, and we love you. Have a great day. Enjoy this day of celebration. You deserve all the love that you'll see.
And I want to congratulate you, John Mark, and the 25 years of faithful service as a pastor. Thank you, John Mark, for the time that you spent with me. I appreciate your prayers for me. I appreciate all that you've invested in me and Tracy. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for being my pastor. God bless, and I pray you'll have many more years.
You know, most of us have heard the expression, behind every great man is usually a very shocked woman. Behind every great man is usually a greater woman. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt that John Mark, so much of what he has been allowed to do is because of the role that Gina has played in his life. And Gina has, Sherry and I have known Gina for a very, very long time. And I can say without a doubt, other than Jesus, Gina is the greatest thing that ever happened to him, and has taken so many things off of him that have allowed him to do this. Now, I know that neither one of them are comfortable here today. I get that, okay? They're not up here because they want to do this. They're doing it because we asked them to do it. But what I thought would be very important, because Gina is so much behind the scenes, that there's a lot more to Gina Kay than just a pretty face. What I wanted to ask John Mark was, John Mark, tell the church something about Gina and her work here that she would never tell us, but that you as her husband are able to tell us that maybe we don't know. And I just thought you'd be very interested to hear that.
She just said, be careful.
Okay.
So I want to continue to pastor. Warren, there are a couple things. One is she's a gentle spirit.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, she's tough as nails.
Yes.
She's walked through a lot.
Yes.
And she's made a journey through a lot over the years. Well, we grew up together literally, and she was much more serious about her faith and our church than I was. And, you know, part of, you know, God's call to ministry was me finally giving it all to God. And then all of a sudden we showed up in the same church that we'd grown up together, and I fell madly in love with her. And she looked at me kind of with the cocked head going, you know, are you the same John Mark I grew up with? And I said, kind of. But she was wondering if it was going to stick or not. But she's tough as nails. Also, she doesn't desire the spotlight. That has never been her, if anything. Yeah. She's always been in the background with grief share or caring for people who are hurting. And, this is not her spot up here. And that's not her nature. She'll come up here, but it's when I force her, or it's our 25th anniversary, her desire. But over the years, many people may not know this. When we first were growing as a church and we were like, we need a women's ministry, she served as our interim women's minister. When there was a time when we needed leadership in children's ministry, I came home and I said, oh, by the way, you're the new children's minister until we get someone different. She goes, what? And over the years, and now she teaches a life group. And so she has been a lot at the church. But she would never want the spotlight, nor would she want the praise, nor would she want the credit. Also, just her generous heart. Yes. When we first got married and we didn't have any money, we would literally get to the end of the week, and our date night on Sunday nights with what we had would be to go to Wendy's and share a Frosty. And that was how much money we had left over. And we would sit there with two spoons and would yuck it up. And then when we came to Fairview in the early days, and the church was small, and we didn't have a lot of money, and we were having kids, and I was doing PhD work, and man, I was up here preaching on Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, whenever it was, Saturday nights. And she was raising the four kids. She felt like a single mom a bunch just because of the amount of time. But that was how committed she was to the ministry here at the church and how much she put in and the effort. And then there would be times when we had nothing. And the church may have done something, had a really good year, and a personnel team would come in and say, we'd like to give you like a Christmas gift, Christmas bonus. Just we know this, there's not much. And there'd be times we'd feel led to give that away.
Yeah.
And she was always willing to.
Well.
And so it's just, you know, stuff like that. She walked me through my brother's death, which really took everything for, now you know, as I told you, I hate letting people down. I felt like I let the church down, let my brother down, let my family down. And, you know, it's her that really pulled me out of it.
Yeah.
And so that's those are just some of the things. And as I think about, you know, celebrating my 25th, it is really our 25th.
Amen.
Here at the church.
Yes.
Because she's done so much behind the scenes, and she would never want credit or praise. But I can tell you, if there is anything that happened that was good, she was there. And she was behind it, and she was encouraging, and she was celebrating, and she was praying.
Yes.
Just a prayer warrior, and so faithful in Bible study, but generous, serving, willing, but never desiring the spotlight. Never desiring the spotlight. And so those are some of the things about her.
Gina, anything this morning that you might want to say, how brief or...
Well, you guys know that John Mark and I can really pick on each other, and that comes very naturally to us. He just sets himself up for it so easily. But I was thinking about this, just reflecting on the past 25 years, and, you know, God has gifted John Mark with some specific skills, right?
Yes.
I mean, he makes it look so easy.
Yes.
And I mean, like recently, some of the life group leaders, we were asked to record a 1-minute video for social media. And so the tables were flipped, and he had to record me versus me recording him. I'm not joking. 25 takes later and a really good editor, we were able to put my video on social media. But he makes it, that is a gift God has given John Mark to speak so clearly and to where we can hear and we can understand, and it comes so naturally to him, you know. And then God has also given you the gift of being able to relate to anybody of any age, you know, whether it's a newborn in the nursery or somebody in the nursing home, whether it's a family going through a really amazing thing in life to celebrate with them, or the toughest time ever, or whether it's we've been in hospitals together where we've seen somebody take their first breath, having a newborn, and we've been there when we've held the hand of somebody taking their last breath, and whereas I'm just like back, you know, like this, it's very, God has given you that gift to be able to just make, to be that person they need to be. And then thank goodness God has given him the gift of a lot of energy to be able to do all that. This kid never runs out of energy. And that was the way he was when he was little, too. But you know, I'm thankful that you're the real deal. I'm thankful that you are who you are.
Thank you.
Well, one thing I haven't mentioned is really the church as a whole. And something that I really felt impressed, I just want to remind this church about. There are churches in our world today that break men and women. And there are churches in this world today that make men and women. There are churches out there that when their pastor or staff come there, they leave better men and women. And I truly sense that about you as a people, that you have chosen to be a church that makes your staff better than they would have been without you. And I wish I could say every church was like that. The fact is, and you know this, that's not the case. And so this church has allowed you all to come and to make some mistakes. But here's the thing about John, Mark, and Gina that I so believe, that God is not looking for a man or a woman with a perfect head, but a man or a woman with a perfect heart. I'm sure John, Mark would say, we've made a bunch of mistakes. But you as a church have been able to forgive them and to move on and say, you know what, our best days are still ahead. And I believe that with all my heart. These church pastors, that is your heart saying, the church that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home. And I want to encourage you to continue to take the gospel. Yeah, the story may change in the way in which we have to share it today, but the story remains the same. And there are a lot of people today more open to Jesus than they've ever been before. So this afternoon at 2:00 on your facility, there's an opportunity for you to drive by. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to call this. I think you should call it Hoot and Holler, where you just, you know, hit on your horn and just holler. It is. It's your opportunity to holler at John Mark, as I'm sure some of you have wanted to over the years. But
probably.
It's a... Do what?
Probably a lot.
I feel certain of that. But it is an opportunity for you to say to them, you know what, we can't come and shake your hand, we can't give you a hug, but our presence in driving by is a small symbol of our love and appreciation to you for all that you have done over these many years. So thank you for being here today, worshiping with us. I believe with all my heart that your best days as a church are still ahead.
Warren,
let's pray. I'm sorry.
Before you pray,
sure.
You know, thank y'all for honoring me. Our greatest regret is that the people aren't here.
Well,
and so wherever you are, we're praying that God is blessing you.
Amen.
And look forward to seeing you back here in a great way, because
this
isn't just about us, and you hit it well. This is about Cottonwood Creek, but more importantly, this is about an awesome God.
Amen.
Who is a God of grace and love. And so we miss you. We love you.
Amen. Great word. Let's pray together. We'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to call you our Father. We thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you and to celebrate what you have done in the life of John Mark and Gina Caton and their family. God, I pray with all of my heart that you'd continue to keep your hand upon them, that you would keep their heart pure, that you would keep them focused on you, that you would protect them today and the coming days from the evil one, and that you, oh God, would continue to give them your spirit, your blessing, your power, and just wisdom to know how to lead such a great group of people. And I just pray that whether you continue to give them another 10 years, 20 years, another 25, that they would be found as they are now, faithful to you and honoring you with their lips. And we pray this today in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Have a great day.